April's was the worst jobs report since the government started keeping track. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. 20.5 million jobs were lost in April. That is according to the Labor Department's monthly employment report. That is more than double the number of jobs lost in the entire Great Recession. The unemployment rate in the United States of America is now at 14.7%, up 10 percentage points, the highest rate and the largest jump since they started keeping track back in 1948. Christopher Lowe is chief economist with FHN Financial in New York. Good morning.
Good morning, Sabri.
These numbers, as high as they are, don't actually capture the full scope of the job loss in this country, do they not?
That's right. 33 million have filed for unemployment claims. And even among those who were captured by the survey, the Bureau of Labor Statistics says some were misclassified if they had been correctly classified. The unemployment rate actually would have been 19.5%.
Wage growth jumped, surprisingly, 4.7% month on month. We've been hovering around 3%. What is going on there?
Yeah, what it is the way we report it is average hourly earnings. And it is an indication of who is affected most by the lockdowns. There's no question the working poor were hit the hardest. And that's because those are the jobs that are the least possible to do from home. And as a result, we're taking an average of essentially a different group of people, those who were able to do their jobs despite a nationwide lockdown. And on average, they make more money than those who were in the average a month ago.
Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sabri.
Native American tribes are grappling with a surge of coronavirus cases. The Navajo Nation in the southwestern U.S. has one of the worst outbreaks in the country in per capita terms. The federal government sent billions of dollars in aid this week, but tribes say it's not enough and their limited infrastructure is being overwhelmed. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
In battling the coronavirus, Native American tribes face unique challenges.
We live in food deserts. 30% of our people don't have running water. 40% of our people don't have electricity.
That's Allie Young of the Navajo Nation, located in parts of Utah, New Mexico, and Arizona. She launched a grassroots campaign to enlist medical and financial aid. Her group says there are just 13 ICU beds on the reservation for a population of 175,000 people living in an area bigger than West Virginia. Jonathan Nez is the president of the Navajo Nation.
The hospital beds are full. We had to open 3 alternative care facilities. Those are gymnasiums retrofitted.
Coronavirus cases on Navajo land are expected to peak in the next week or two. 85 people already have died. This week, the federal government released nearly $5 billion in aid, with $3 billion more available. But one advocacy group estimated tribes will need $20 billion to deal with the pandemic. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
As more and more people are furloughed and laid off because of COVID-19, we're seeing more and more people showing up at food banks, even food banks at colleges and universities. Not all students are on expensive meal plans, and a lot of students work, or at least used to. Now, some schools are worried about the end of classes and getting food to students through the summer. A Marketplace Hub reporter Peggy Lowe of KCUR reports that some students don't have a whole lot of options.
When Ricardo Aristeguieta got word that the University of Missouri-Kansas City was closing its campus in mid-March, he figured he'd have to take some classes online.
At the beginning, I was a bit anxious because my internet at home wasn't very good.
So Aristeguieta and his two roommates upgraded their internet service. But that ate into his very tight monthly budget. So he got help at UMKC's food pantry, where he picked up pasta, peanut butter, and some canned foods.
It takes away some of the worry of having to choose between paying rent or gas from a car or the school or choosing to eat.
Before the coronavirus, nearly 40% of students nationwide reported being food insecure in the previous month. Marissa Myers is a researcher with the Hope Center for College, Community, and Justice at Temple University. She says the pandemic has intensified the need for food assistance.
So those students who were barely hanging on or who we were concerned about being able to obtain their credentials, the chances of them doing that now have drastically dropped.
Myers says students don't have many options for aid. The federal government has barred undocumented students from getting any help under the stimulus package. And she says food stamp requirements vary from state to state and are difficult to get. At the UMKC food pantry, Anthony Maley has just used his minivan to pick up boxes of canned food for students from a large community food bank. Maley works at the Office of Student Involvement. He says the pantry will be open through the summer because students still won't be able to work.
We don't think that it's going to stop now or when stay-at-home orders are lifted or even when social distancing is relaxed.
Maley says that even though there are fewer students around, the pantry gave away 500 pounds of food in April, 2.5 times the usual amount. And the pantry is planning on continuing to do that for the next 12 to 18 months. In Kansas City, I'm Peggy Lowe for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.